Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Tech Love Podcast. This is episode 14, and we're here for another week of news, bringing you mostly gaming news, not so much of the technology side as I would like to, but this week is going to be all gaming updates, at least the headlines that that attracted my eyeballs to look over and read. Before I begin, I just want to remind everyone that you can download these episodes from all the popular podcasting catalogs out there: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. We got Stitcher Radio, TuneIn. We got them all. And we're hosted on anchor.fm. This is a free service that you can start your own podcast and distribute it everywhere, all for free. All you have to do is just upload or record right off the website, and anchor.fm will take care of everything else for free. Great service. I'd highly advise everyone, if you're looking to host a podcast, start at anchor.fm. Great website. Anyways, let's get on with the show. We're going to start off with the PlayStation news, as always. And our first article is really, really cool. It's the new, the latest PS4 update, and it brings you remote play to the iPad and iPhone. This is a great new feature. I believe it's been available on Android devices for quite a while, and finally now it's available to iOS devices. So with Sony's latest system update for the PlayStation 4, it adds remote play to the iPhone and iPad. So remote play, which lets players use a mobile device to control their PS4 console, has been a long time coming for iOS users. The feature first came to Android 4.5 years ago and has since come to PC and Mac as well. And this is true. I do have it on my computers, and I have used it. It works great when you want to do a Let's Play video, and you want to put some overlays using OBS. You would remote to your PlayStation 4 using their app on the computer, and then I would stream it using OBS. There's a few links in the chain here, but once you got it all working together, it works great. But now, thanks to firmware update 6.5, PlayStation 4 owners can now play games using their iPhone or iPad as a controller by downloading the PS4 Remote Play app. So once the app has been downloaded and paired to your console, your phone's screen will be given an overlay with a PS4 controller's standard buttons like the D-pad and the triangle, square, circle, and cross. Okay, then you navigate to your PS4 and play games just as you would with a traditional controller. Fantastic news. I can't wait. I have not installed it on my devices yet, but I should certainly try and try away from home. Which would be pretty cool. At least I can get maybe half an hour of gameplay while I'm away. Okay, moving on to our next article with PlayStation-related news. Sony put the final nail in the coffin of its least successful video game console. We're talking about the PlayStation Vita. The PlayStation Vita is officially a thing of the past. Sony has discontinued the last two active product numbers for the handheld video game console, meaning no more Vitas will be produced. The Vita had a tough and largely forgettable 7-year life as the successor to the PlayStation Portable, never really finding its place in a world that was quickly adopting smartphones. While the PlayStation Vita offered a healthy selection of games and made notable improvements to the media features of the PSP, it couldn't keep up with the rapidly improving app-based experiences of iPhones and Android devices. With both the Vita and the PlayStation Portable, Sony made the mistake of trying to shrink an at-home entertainment experience into a portable device. As media players, the Vita and the PSP were mediocre at best, as smartphones became more persistent, more present. Sony's handheld lagged behind other devices in utility. For gamers, the Vita failed to provide the sort of innovation that players found in Nintendo's more popular handhelds, the DS and the 3DS. Despite launching with much weaker hardware than the Vita, the 3DS had a large library and innovative use of dual-screen technology that captivated adults and children alike. Whereas Sony's most impressive Vita games feel like a downgraded version of a PlayStation 3 game, the 3DS has games that felt more unique to the platform. The Vita did, however, benefit from a boom of indie titles published on the PlayStation Network, and plenty of players are willing to invest in a Vita to enjoy their favorite niche games on the go. The Vita's demise isn't a shock. Sony said in September that it would wind down production of the Vita, which launched in December 2011. The company has no plans for a successor to the Vita either. So that's it. The PlayStation Vita is now a thing of the past. I own a PlayStation Vita, and I mean, I didn't use it a lot, but I did use it. The thing about the PlayStation Vita and other mobile devices like a mobile phone is that the PlayStation Vita, it actually has controllers. It actually has buttons. It actually has a D-pad and analog stick. That's the thing that I prefer it for gaming than, I mean, when talking about mobile devices, to that of a mobile phone. A mobile phone, you just tap the screen, but meanwhile, with a dedicated mobile console, you actually have dedicated buttons to make the gaming experience better, at least in my opinion. I couldn't play an arcade game on an iPhone or mobile screen. I just can't. My fingers will shift over the display, you know, the overlay of the buttons. I would miss things. It wouldn't work for me at all. And yes, while the library wasn't as strong as, let's say, Nintendo's 3DS library, I mean, there were some pretty good games, but yeah, I mean, I think you would have a much more funner experience on the Nintendo handheld console than Sony PlayStation. But I mean, in recent years, people have been able to hack the PlayStation Vita, add their own games, emulators, and they're able to play a whole now much wider catalog of games crossing platforms now. I mean, I still got my PlayStation Vita. I sometimes carry it with me in my bag, bring it to work, try to put in a little bit of time on my breaks and stuff when there's nothing much to do or no one around to be, you know, to socialize with. And yeah, but that's it. So long to the PlayStation Vita. I mean, for me, it was, I liked it. I guess it's just time to move on, and we'll see what Sony has in the works when they decide it's time to return to the mobile, if they do decide to return to the mobile handheld market. Moving on, we have another PlayStation article here where we have Sony getting tough with people that are selling hacked PS4s and pirated games. So Sony Interactive Entertainment is requesting over $20,000 in damages and judicial costs from a California man who was accused of selling jailbroken PS4 consoles packed with pirated games back in October. The man in question failed to respond to the accusations lodged by the PlayStation maker, and so Sony is now asking the court to issue a default judgment for a violation of the DMCA's anti-circumvention provisions and more. Now, as you may know, for its first couple of years on the market, the PS4 largely stood strong against pirates and hackers, but eventually, like every console, it broke in 2017 when jailbroken systems started to make the rounds and pirates started to move in and make a buck. In this wave of piracy, Sony responded by filing a lawsuit against a California-based man by the name of Eric Scales, who it said was selling jailbroken PS4s with pirated games installed. The thinking being, if it took a stand, it would deter other and future pirates. Now, none of my consoles are jailbroken, at least the main ones, my PS3, my PS4, Xbox, 360. None of them are jailbroken. If there's a game that I like, I will go out and buy it. If, you know, even through the PlayStation stores, if there's a game, sometimes it'll be on sale at a cheap price, I'll buy it. I've really haven't tried to jailbreak my devices. I mean, at least in the beginning, there's nothing out available. But then, you know, sometimes people just don't want to bother making the effort. And, you know, then there's patches and updates, and then they'll just put you back at square one if you take the update. And if you don't take the update, you won't be allowed on the store. You know, everything, you know, they really try to stop people from, jailbreaking and pirating games. And, I mean, I think on previous consoles, like my original PlayStation 1, that was able to play pirated games. What else did I have there? I think that was it. That was the only console that really I had hacked played a lot of games. Now, the problem is that I ended up getting all these pirated games and never played them. Just I had this huge stacks and stacks of CDs. And in the end, years later, they all ended up in the garbage. So it's kind of a big waste of time. When you pirate a game and you don't put money into it, you really have nothing invested into it to actually play it. But when you go out and buy a game and you've spent money, you've invested in that game, so you're going to play it, or else it's just a waste of money and you shouldn't have bought it in the first place. But there you go. Look out, folks. If you're in the pirated game business, Sony will take action against you if you're caught. And for those that are part of the PlayStation Plus membership program, PlayStation Plus, as you probably already know, is doing away with free PS3 and Vita games. That just leaves PlayStation 4 games to be freebies for its members. So we've got for this current month, if you don't already know, we've got the two big games, Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered. That is the 2016 revamp of the 2007 classic. Modern Warfare remains one of the most critically acclaimed shooters of all time and helped establish the Call of Duty series as a titanic franchise for Activision. Modern Warfare Remastered was originally included with 2016's Call of Duty Infinite War before being sold separately. We've heard word from that company that the company will return to the series with this year's installment. And the second big game for PlayStation Plus members for free is The Witness, is the follow-up to Braid from creator Jonathan Blow. It's also from 2016, offering a series of interconnected puzzles that impact the world. The Witness molds its world puzzles and themes into such a layered, cohesive whole that if we look hard enough, we'll keep finding new ways to perceive it, says critic Mike Mahardy in GameSpot's review. So there you have it, folks. Two freebies for the PlayStation 4 for PlayStation Plus members, Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered and The Witness. I'll be sure to download those, or at least queue it up for download this week. And finally, for our last PlayStation update, Nacon is going to be releasing a new PlayStation 4 controller called an asymmetric wireless controller. So gaming peripheral specialist Nacon has announced another licensed PlayStation 4 gamepad called revealing its asymmetric wireless controller. This will be available in early 2019, so soon. And we can see it here. I'm going to suspect it's going to be probably around $75 here on the US, probably possibly more in Canada. And it's an alternative to Sony's DualShock 4, showcasing an asymmetric button and stick layout that also encompasses a stylish ergonomic design. Now, this device is, of course, wireless with a range up to 7 meters, full audio and chat functionality, But the thing that kind of holds it back is that it needs a separate wireless receiver to plug into a USB slot. I mean, it's no big deal if you've got nothing plugged in to those USB slots while you're playing, because then, you know, it's not a big deal. But the fact that it does take up a USB slot, it kind of bugs me. I wish this was a Bluetooth controller, and then you wouldn't need any special devices. But the only thing different, of course, yes, it is much more rounded, more ergonomic. But the thing is, what this is different about PlayStation 4, about Sony's controller, is that the left analog stick is now in the position of the D-pad of the PlayStation 4 controller, of Sony's PS4 controller, and the D-pad is now in position of the left analog stick. So they've swapped the two, which if I'm not mistaken, this is similar to Xbox's controller. I think it's like that as well. I think the two analog sticks are now, they're not side by side. That's what it looks like. So that's some new hardware coming out. Pretty neat. Something I would like to try, but you know, unfortunately, you know, it's, you know, you got to pick up batteries for it, and it's going to take up a USB. Not a big deal, but I don't think this is something that I would run out to get. Although it does look cool. It's something I would like to try, but wouldn't care much to buy. Okay, so let's move on to some Xbox news. I don't have much Xbox news, but what we have is the free games with gold. So if you're an Xbox Gold member, you too get your hands on some free games every month, just like PlayStation Plus users. If listeners out there don't know what free games with gold is all about. But for March 2019, we've got three free games. The first one is Adventure Time, Pirates of the Enchiridion. I don't even know if I'm saying that right, but it's the it's a colorful cel-shaded RPG based on the now concluded Cartoon Network series that has long been beloved by kids of all ages. You can get this game now, which began March 1st until the end of the month, March 31st. The second game, and that's an Xbox One title. The second game, Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2. It's also available for Xbox One. And you can download this game starting March 16th until April 15th. So Plants vs. Zombies is just as surprising and delightful in third-person team shooter form as the classical tower defense incarnation. So you can get matches that support up to 24 players in multiplayer battlefields, clash of foliage and flesh eaters, and can get pretty hectic. If that's like the original Plants vs. Zombies, it's a pretty neat game. I had some fun with that. And the third game, Super Bomberman R, and this is for the Xbox One. This is currently available. This was available for free February 16th, and will be concluded on March 15th. So quickly get your hands on that before that time runs out. So if you don't already know, Bomberman's tense, highly explosive multiplayer is timeless, and Super Bomberman R is an effort to modernize the series for contemporary consoles. And those are your free titles for games with gold for gold members. So moving on to our next Microsoft article. This is pretty big, and it's Microsoft wants Xbox Game Pass on PlayStation 4. This is cross-platform news that you're going to hear about in 2019. So Phil Spencer, Microsoft's Executive Vice President of Gaming, has continued to change the definition of Xbox over the last few years, releasing console-exclusive games on PC and even planning to offer Xbox Live services on Nintendo Switch. If Microsoft gets its way, however, things could go further, including possibly offering the Xbox Game Pass service on PlayStation systems. Spencer explained that selling games and services to players is Microsoft's biggest focus, and this extends beyond only offering them on Xbox or PC hardware. With Xbox Game Pass, subscribers get launch day access to all new Microsoft games as part of their monthly fee, and they have unlimited time with the games. Spencer said in an interview that we want to bring Game Pass to any device that somebody wants to play on. Spencer stopped short of mentioning putting Xbox Game Pass on the PlayStation 4 specifically, but the connotation of his statement was clear. If Microsoft gets its way, the service will be on everything from PlayStation 4 to phones and Nintendo Switch. Microsoft is already moving to have its games available for play on mobile devices through the Project xCloud program. The game streaming service will let members play Xbox games on their phones with special touch-based control schemes implemented alongside support for Bluetooth controllers. The program will also be compatible with the Xbox One itself, as well as PC, giving consumers more choice over how and where to play. Cross-platform play between Xbox One and other systems is already implemented for a small number of games. Fortnite players can enjoy the game across all devices, and Rocket League also features play between Xbox One, PS4, Nintendo Switch, and PC. With the exception of PlayStation 4 and a few legacy systems, players can also enjoy cross-platform play in Minecraft. As we move into the next generation of consoles, this should only continue, as there appear to be few technical limitations on cross-platform play. Now, this is pretty neat. I mean, now you can get people playing playing the same game across different consoles. But the only thing is that with this, Microsoft looks like is only looking to make money on the game, not so much on the console. More on the service. So you can be on PS4, stream an Xbox game to your console and play with other Xbox users. So don't know what Sony will have to say about that. Pretty interesting stuff. It's kind of neat that we've come this far, but we'll see if it will come to fruition on the PlayStation 4. But this is pretty neat, pretty exciting. And now we got a Nintendo article here, which it's kind of nice to see this. Nintendo encourages its smartphone game development partners to limit revenue, focus on high quality fun. Now, this is pretty neat because, you know, a lot of these games, they just want to make money. They want to make money with the ads displayed in the game. They want to make money with microtransactions. Personally, I try not to download these free games because the ads and these microtransactions, they're just annoying. I am more for a traditional buy the game, get the whole game. You don't have to put any more money into the game to get special tools or access or anything like that. That's the kind of game that I like to play. And I don't play a lot of mobile games just for that reason. But we have here, Nintendo is reportedly encouraging its smartphone game development partners to focus on fun instead of maximum revenue. It would appear that Nintendo sees the smartphone gaming market as a way to increase interest in its properties with the hope that its smartphone customers will find their way to the console market, the company's bread and butter. The Wall Street Journal recently revealed that Nintendo is concerned about its brand image in the smartphone gaming market. The company does not want to appear greedy and so has reportedly asked at least two of its development partners to tone down any mechanics that may lead to excessive spending. Obviously, this policy does not appeal to the developers working on the project, since it limits the amount of money they can earn with Nintendo's highly sought-after properties. Dragalia Lost developer Cyber Agent Inc. has gone on record stating that Nintendo had asked the studio to adjust its game to avoid any excessive spending by its users. The company even went one step further to claim, and I quote, Nintendo is not interested in making a large amount of revenue from a single smartphone game. And if we merged the game, if we managed the game alone, we would have made a lot more. End quote, which paints a very clear picture of a developer frustration with Nintendo's apparent policy not to take advantage of its customers. Hey, like I said at the beginning of this, I don't like these free games. It's just a waste to me personally. It's just a waste of money. I mean, let the developers charge for the game, and that's it. You know, charge $5.99, $10.99, $15.99. If it's a really in-depth game, then yeah, charge away, and then that's it. Be done with it. Provide the updates, patches, and all that stuff. But don't start nickel and diming, you know, every little, you know, detail of the game just to advance to a level and get ahead. I kind of like this, that Nintendo is putting its fans first, you know, trying to, you know, offer them the fun. But I guess in this way, Nintendo's only trying to boost their console sales, and the developer really isn't gaining much from decreasing the amount of transactions, you know, ways they can make money. I mean, what Nintendo should just do is develop the games in-house and be done with the outside developers, because Nintendo is benefiting from this in the long run, it looks like. But yeah, that's nice of Nintendo. Good guy Nintendo for putting fans ahead of profits. Now, here's an article. This is pretty amusing. It's more of the PlayStation. I should have had this at the beginning of the podcast, but it's titled, EA says it's aware that Anthem is crashing some PS4 consoles. So Anthem is a title that I believe with its last update started crashing systems. So we have PlayStation 4 owners are reporting that BioWare's shared world shooter Anthem is completely crashing their consoles, or worse. While neither Sony nor BioWare owner Electronic Arts has explained why this might be happening or how widespread the issue might be, EA now says it's officially investigating the problem and is asking players with the issue to share their crash data and answer a few questions in their forum. Now, according to the Anthem subreddit, there's some upvoted posts where some players with the issue are also seeing their PS4 consoles completely turn themselves off, as if they'd spontaneously unplugged the power cord instead of safely shutting down. One reader says, the console powers down and will not power on using the normal method of pressing the PS4 button on the controller. Another quote here, sometimes the button on the front of the console works, and other times I have to unplug the console, then plug it back in, they added. In rare cases, PS4 owners are reporting that their consoles are being bricked to the point where they no longer turn on properly. This could be a side effect of the hard drive or other components spontaneously losing power. They're not designed to do that, and it's why the PS4 normally runs a hard disk check every time it accidentally gets unplugged. This is very amusing to me. But hopefully, I don't play Anthem. These games like Fortnite. I mean, I tried Fortnite, and it sounds like something that I need devote a lot of time to and practice, because I just suck at it. And so I really don't play much of these shared world shooter games. But this is a problem, and hopefully it really doesn't damage consoles out there. So hopefully EA will get on this quickly and start fixing it. But actually, I think I did see an update where it's going to take them a week to find and patch this issue, so no more consoles go crashing or bricked. So this is it's not good news. So hopefully this gets resolved quickly. And now we got another Xbox Xbox article here. Again, should have been with the Xbox news, but Final Fantasy VII is heading to Xbox One at the end of March. The all-time classic Final Fantasy VII will make its way over to Xbox One owners at the tail end of March, with pre-orders now open. From the game's iconic characters to its engrossing story and world, Final Fantasy VII has continued to remain one of the most beloved entries in the Final Fantasy series for well over two decades, and soon Xbox One owners will get to experience the title for themselves in just over a month from now. The Microsoft Store has confirmed that Xbox One owners will be able to play Final Fantasy VII on March 26, 2019, which will coincide with the release date that the classic RPG will also be arriving on Nintendo Switch. Pre-orders for the title on the Xbox One are currently open, and it's $15.99. I believe that is U.S. currency. One final note here before you get too excited. This is, of course, the original Final Fantasy VII versus the upcoming remake of the game, which is still currently in development and probably will be for quite some time. So Final Fantasy VII is just going everywhere. Everyone's excited. This is a game that I still have to try because it's so popular. And I remember one of my old jobs, I remember someone was still playing Final Fantasy VII, and we were talking about this was in like 2012 or 2013, something like that. And he still plays Final Fantasy VII in 2013. So must be a game that, you know, you got to try if you're an RPG lover. Now, here's a little article here on the state of video game development right now. And Ubisoft, which is a video game developer from France, they plan on a massive expansion the Exchange District Studio. So let me give you some information. So like I mentioned, Ubisoft, a game developer based in France, opened a local branch not too long ago, 2 months ago, in Winnipeg. The company, known for games like Assassin's Creed and Far Cry, announced plans Friday to undergo a major expansion in its Exchange District studio. So get this, the Ubisoft office in the Merchants Building is ballooning from 3,500 square feet to almost 20,000 square feet. That's massive. This is pretty big. Good for them on their expansion. It's going to, you know, provide jobs. We have here managing director Daryl Long said that Ubisoft is planning to hire 100 new employees to work in the expanded space. And I quote Daryl here, "Today is an exciting step, having secured the long-term space we want to grow into," he said, "but also toward continuing our future in the booming techno-creative hub in the Exchange District, which we have come to love." So it looks like at least for Ubisoft, the gaming industry is going strong and they're expanding. And this is wonderful news for job creation and just the whole industry itself. It's just moving along, at least for Ubisoft. Now, with tax season coming along, now you're gonna see where I'm going with this. you can now get tax software and get a copy of Call of Duty Black Ops 4 for free, in case that's something that you want. So listen to this. So H&R Block seems to be targeting gamers this tax season with an unusual promotion for their tax preparation software. If you browse the selection of software downloads on Newegg, you'll notice it's offering a free game download when you purchase one of H&R's products. We're talking games like Call of Duty Black Ops 4, Battlefield 5, Borderlands 2, and BioShock Infinite. So you get a copy of H&R Block's tax software, you get a free download of Battlefield or Call of Duty and all that stuff. Because, you know, when you're filing your taxes every year, you want to make sure you're getting the best video game deal along with it. So the tax software that comes with games range from $40 to $80 with with Call of Duty Black Ops 4 for PS4 listed alongside the most expensive software options. It's funny. It's pretty... I wish everything came with a free game download. That's pretty neat. But unfortunately, tax software, there's a lot of options out there that you can download for free and do a pretty decent job at helping you out. But this is a pretty nice incentive. If you're looking at it for any of these titles, you can get your hands free if you do your own taxes. So there you go. Free Call of Duty when you buy H&R Block's tax software. Anyways, folks, thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. Hopefully you made it through. It was this was my biggest episode ever. A lot of headlines. Hopefully something you found interesting and relevant and all that. Thank you again for listening to the podcast. If you want to subscribe, you can find us on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Spotify, anywhere you can download podcasts with the help of Anchor.fm. It's put us on all the platforms, and it's a service that's absolutely for free. Love it. Very handy. If you want to find us, you can go to our website, thetechloft.com, find all our podcasts there as well as other articles, other posts. And we also on Twitter, and if you have anything you want to share with us, please look us up on Twitter at The Tech Loft. And that's all for this week. Hopefully you've enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you next week on the next podcast episode number 14, 15, something like that. I've lost count. It's going to be 15 for our next show. So thank you once again, and enjoy the rest of your day. Ciao for now.